So you walk into a diamond shop and you have, and you're looking for, say, a ring or a gold chain, etc. And it will be brought out to you, and if they're really serious, they'll present it on a black cloth, because the beauty of the diamond is presented more clearly through the contrast against the blackness of the cloth. And this is what I'm going to say. This year, as we make our way into Christmas against a backdrop of closing borders, of people unable to visit loved ones, as news of trade wars and civil unrest around the world clog our newspapers, in this year more than others recently, we will see with more clarity the beauty and the hope in all that Jesus does and is for his people. So we have great reason to come again to Christmas and be renewed and refilled and rejoicing about the birth of Jesus Christ, particularly because we see that what the world looks like without Jesus Christ. We have more reason to celebrate this year as we fill our eyes again with the glory of God. I want to draw our eyes to Isaiah 8, 22 to 9, 7, a prophecy given about the birth of Jesus centuries before it happens. For many people, this moment in history that God gave this revelation about Jesus is remarkably similar to our own. I was just reading ahead and I came across some of these verses, 8:22. This is the people who are hearing about Jesus Christ. They will look toward the earth and see only distress, darkness, and the gloom of affliction, and they will be driven. So what they see is driving them into more thick darkness. Okay, 2020. Isaiah 8:12. He says, interestingly, do not call everything a conspiracy that these people say is a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be terrified. So God is speaking into a people who are so thickly surrounded by darkness, who are so afflicted and so have lost hope that they don't know what truth is anymore. And they are exhausted and they are afraid. They are on the internet, right, looking for just something true to cling on to have a way of understanding the trajectory of the world. They have become preoccupied with rumors and theories. They need to get their eyes back again onto God and what God is going to do about this. So God continues, and this is our passage. Nevertheless, the gloom of the distressed land will not be like that of the former times when he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will bring honor to the way of the sea, to the land east of the Jordan and to Galilee of the nations. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing spoils, for you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For every trampling boot of battle and the bloody garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child will be born for us. A child will be given to us. And the government will be, hear the certainty of God, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. God is not too worried this won't happen, is he? He will. The dominion will be vast, and his prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. God's word to a people in darkness who don't know what is even true and not true anymore about their situation. In their exhausted state, God directs the people of Israel to turn their minds to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. Odd, why? Because this is the place where Israel would be attacked by other nations. This was their weak spot. This is where dreams were crushed. This is where their people were enslaved and lived only to serve other people. This is the place of darkness. This is absolutely, listen to me, the place of powerlessness. And I know some of us have feeling that acutely in 2020. We've come face to face for the first time, maybe in a generation, with a sense of powerlessness. Against this, the light of God shines bright. And in all of this, there's God's, you are going to see a great light emerge in this darkness. One of my favorite things as a younger man living in Alice Springs, is I'd get up before the sun would get up and I'd go for a walk in the desert. And when you're walking in the desert, you don't know if you're going to step on a snake. You don't know, you know, if you're going to be attacked by a camel. Probably not, but you don't know that. Maybe you do. But as the sun emerges in the desert, it is transformed into a place of stillness, silence. Just the colours become beautiful. The whole experience of what it means to be in the same place with the presence of that light is remarkably different to be in the exact same place with the absence of that light. I would go just to see that light emerge in the desert. And God says to his people, there is a light where you are right now, about to dawn. And it will transform all those who are drawn into its presence, into its stillness, into its peace, as it changes this place where you are. This light is going to expand and fill this darkening world, and it will fill itself with rejoicing people to the point where all the weapons of war, we just heard pictures in this verse, the rods, the staves, the boots, the bloody garments of war, but let's add for our context, all the instruments of hurt we wrestle with today, harsh words, bullying, the withholding of love, the emotional pain that we can't let go of, all of those things in this light that is dawning in this dark place are going to be thrown onto the scrap heap and exist no more. All those tears that nobody else sees, gone. There's no need for them. They won't be present in this dawning kingdom, this light that is arriving in the world. God describes the people in this light as rejoicing. Like he, one of the things when we're looking and we open up the word together, we want to look for the repeated words, are very much a way of emphasizing. Isaiah 9:3, I'll read it again. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing spoil. So what is the flavor, I ask you, of beholding the light of God in your life? It is a feeling of joy. And why? Well, the language here is of sharing in something that is much greater, much bigger than you thought it would be. So the people have expected some kind of harvest to come in, but now they see the harvest, they are rejoicing. It is greater than what right now we can imagine it to be. They are filled with joy at the abundance they share in. And so the question is, how will God do this? Verse 6, we see a child, a son will be born. So this light that is coming to the world is someone. It is a child who will. I love God's confidence in God's power. There's no chance of failure in any of this. A child who will, says God, rule and produce this kingdom of light. It's a useful thing to step fully into the place of Scripture where God is speaking to you. And last night I was sitting here and I was like, how would I react to this incredible promise of God, having lived in darkness and slavery for so long? Maybe not with physical chains, but certainly today people experience emotional manipulation or have a boss who is wringing everything out of you that they can, or there's a new person with authority in your life. May not sound like good news. If all you've done is live in the darkness, if all you've done is experience the abuse of power, and then God says, good news, I have somebody new to put in power over you, like who's going to have authority in your life, that could be bad news. Think of how many people hear the news about the Lordship of Jesus Christ today as a threat. It's God's reassurance. I love the heart of God. Now he seeks to reassure us. I've brought in this king. And this look at who this king is, I want to reassure you as to who he is for you. And there are four titles here. The first one, Wonderful Counselor. I Googled last night the character attributes of a good counselor, and now I know everything I need to know about counseling. I Googled the character attributes of a good counselor, and here's just some that they emphasized. Empathy. A good counselor has the ability to understand and share the feelings of others. A good counsellor can join you where you are, not just where you pretend to be, but actually where you are emotionally. Trustworthy. A good counsellor won't use your worst secrets against you. You can confide safely in them, knowing they are seeking to serve and build and repair and restore you. A good counsellor is patient. They don't give up. They don't walk away. They are steadfast in their love for you. Compassion, they truly care about you. This isn't about a paycheck. The good counsellor is compassionate. And a good counsellor is an encourager. They can install hope into your life. They can install hope into your life. And I sat there and I thought to myself, that's what a good counsellor is. What would a wonderful counsellor be? What is Jesus Christ, the wonderful counsellor? His empathy, his compassion, his patience, his trustworthiness. Man. The second title, Mighty God. This child of humanity will be God himself with all the strength that that implies. There's just will in this language, not might be. Not hopefully. Not if things go our way. Will be. Eternal Father, this is King that is coming. Is the Father who never tires. Is the Father who never fails. Is the Father who will never leave those who are his children. This is a father whose eyes will always be upon his children, and this is the father who will bring them home. And lastly, the Prince of Peace. This state of human flourishing, of shalom under this king, will never stop. Even our tendency to shipwreck ourselves and others will be gone. All that the peace and flourishing contains, all that righteousness, all that godliness, all that the beauty of true justice, of truth upheld and celebrated for all time, will be brought in by this king. God is next to his people in the darkness, and he is saying, yes, I have brought somebody to lead you into the light. Don't fear this guy. He is so for you. For all the joy, for all the hope, for the new and fulfilled life promised under this King of Light. I'm not sure that the people in Zebulun and Naphtali were still in any state to hear this. Like, no matter how thirsty you are, no matter how close to your fingertips that cool drink you've been reaching for is, if it's this close, but if you can't reach it, if you can't reach out far enough to touch it and to drink from it, it is all but meaningless to you. And if you are stuck in the land of darkness and all these incredible promises are there, they are that close, but yet you cannot summon the energy and you cannot summon the focus. You are just done. You've been walking in this darkness for so many years that these words remain words for you. God continues to reassure his people in his tenderness, in his wisdom and love. Almost in my heart, see God kneeling down to whisper to his people this last verse. The zeal of the Lord of armies will, certainty, accomplish this. This fight in the darkness against those bullies, against the manipulators, against those who are seeking to exercise authority over you only for their joy, that fight, your fight against your own desire to shipwreck your life, your embrace of sin, is no longer your fight to win, to stand before God as his people. Nobody has the strength to win this fight. God says, so I am sending to you the one who in his zeal, in his passion, in his commitment, in his heart for you, is going to win every fight you're involved in for God's glory and your joy. All that he is coming into this fight to free you. He is not holding anything back. He'll be 100% in this fight to fight for you. And he says, he will accomplish this. He will establish the kingdom of light, and he will lead his beloved children into it. Those who are exhausted, those who are weak, those who are done, and those who are spent are still victors in Christ Jesus. God's passion brings this to be. His heart for you is your joy and your freedom. There is a light dawning in this world that is your salvation. And we know today that this dawning light is the birth of Jesus. He is the one we look to for joy. We are the one who we go to when the reality of our powerlessness is made evident to us. He is the one who conquers through his love and mercy. His is the kingdom that has continued to grow like the mustard seed. It was Jesus alone on the cross that overcame the power of our sin and death. Through his zeal, his enthusiasm, his love for his Father's glory and for your joy. Jesus is the one who gives you his peace. My peace I give you, he says. Jesus is your wonderful counselor. Jesus, God himself. So we gather and we sing today. I'm really looking forward to this play that's about to happen for the kids. So all this simple message I have is this. Our celebration of Christmas is not weakened by a tough year. But when we behold Jesus and we see him as the sum of our hopes, our righteousness, our joy, Christmas is recaptured and strengthened. We are restored. We do not fear 2021. We are walking in the light. So let's finish with this. If your soul longs for rest from the pursuit of what is and isn't true, if it is costing you your joy in life, turn off your social media and your podcasts and fill your eyes with the love and the glory of Jesus Christ. Hold on to the truest thing, not the possible. If the circumstances of your life are challenging and you are powerless even to change your own actions, let alone those of those around you, God is telling you, you have a wonderful counselor. You have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus dwelling in you. You can rest in him and you can listen to him. You can be fed by him, restored through him, carving out time with him, knowing his peace in your veins. Know that you have an eternal, gentle, strong Father whose eye is on you in 2020, in 2021, in 2022, in 20, until we run out of numbers. And if right now you're too busy or exhausted to fight for Jesus, right? Those morning devotions and like you're just dragging yourself out of bed and it's dry. Rest. Rest. It's his love, according to the great depths of his compassionate mercies, that has won this fight for you. From that place you can read the word and rejoice in him. Accept his fight on your behalf. Rest in his grace. And if the future worries you, eternity itself has been secured through the love of Jesus. I just keep coming back to this word will. God's not afraid of COVID apps. God's not afraid. His kingdom is not threatened by Facebook. This king he has raised has won every fight. Now, then, and for all eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, that there are no surprises for you, that there is no fear for us. Lord, though we run hard and though we weary, we can rest in our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our eternal Father, our Prince of Peace.
Father, help us through your Holy Spirit, fill our eyes with the glory of Jesus Christ, freshly, daily, forevermore. All these things are just momentary light afflictions. But with the birth of Jesus Christ, we are now in the light, and it is getting brighter. Thank you, Jesus, that you, in your incredible humility and in your zeal for your people, stepped into your creation to fight for us. Lord, we pray all of these things in your name. Amen.